Let's go to Pastor Brian as we start in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 31. And Pastor Brian talks to us about earnestly desiring the best gifts.
Verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. That is kind of a hard phrase to understand. If he says not everyone is going to be an apostle and all this, what's the best gift to desire? And that poses some problems in interpreting, or difficulty in interpreting. And basically, there's been four different answers that have used to describe what he's talking about here. And I want to give you those four real quickly. But earnestly desire the best gift. Some interpret that as that's what the church at Corinth was saying. Because Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians, is actually a response to a letter that they wrote. They had a bunch of questions. And some say he's probably quoting them, and then he wants to give them the proper truth, that the proper truth is that we all need to be seeking love, not the gifts. And that is a possible interpretation, as I do believe Paul does quote them in 1 Corinthians from their own letter and then corrects them. He does that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I think he does it when he says all things are lawful. That's probably something they were saying. I could do anything, I'm a Christian. But Paul says, yeah, but not all things edify. And he had to correct a misunderstanding that was in the church, and he may be doing that here. Yeah, we all need to seek the best gifts, that's true, but more important than that, we need to seek love. It's a possibility. Another possibility is that, see how this is actually a command. Earnestly desire, that's a command that's been given. And in the Greek language, a command and a statement of fact look exactly alike. And the only way you know how to translate it is by the context. So it is possible to translate this that you are earnestly desiring the best gift, and he's commending them for that. He's saying you're doing that, but don't stop there. Move on into love. And so it may not be a command. It may just be a statement of facts. Third way to interpret that is the best gift or the greater gifts are the gifts that he's going to go on and discuss in chapter 14, the gifts that build up the body of Christ rather than themselves. And this church, for some reason, it's kind of funny how what Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. They were focusing on tongues, and everyone wanted the gift of tongues. And Paul's saying, wait a second, that is a gift, true. But there's other gifts that actually build up the entire body of Christ. Those are the ones that you should be focusing on. Those are the greater gifts. And then how love fits in is if you're really walking in love, you're not going to be seeking the gifts for yourself. You're going to be seeking the gifts so you can be a blessing to others. And that kind of fits right along with that. And that's also, I think, a real strong possibility. One other suggestion I like to offer, and I heard Jim Hayford speak on this subject, and that's Jack Hayford's brother. He said the best gift, just practically, to boil it down, the best gift is depending on the setting. And if you're in a setting where someone's sick, why would you want to desire the gift of tongues and pray in tongues? You should desire the best gift at that point, which would be the gift of healing. If somebody calls you up and they need help putting up a door, you shouldn't pray for the gift of prophecy and it's, thus says the Lord, you'll get this done in 3 hours. Or you'd get it done in 20 minutes if you had the gift of helps at that point. So that would be the best gift in that setting. And to me, that helps me understand it practically. That would be the best gift, something that would bless others, that would be walking in love, would be for their benefit, and it would be most beneficial at that point. And so that means that we should desire all the gifts depending on the situation we're placed in. Someone comes to you and they're sick, pray for the gift of faith, ask God by the Spirit to impart that to you, and pray that the gift of healing would be manifest. Now, if he doesn't, that's up to the sovereign God, and he'll make those choices, but we should desire those gifts that are going to bless others depending on the circumstances God places us in. And then yet, that is not where we stop. That's a great thing to do, and I think it's absolutely necessary to do. But yet he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. There's something even greater than that in desiring to minister to others through the gifts. Something is more excellent than that, and that is love. The supremacy of love, the priority of love. Now, let me say this. Paul is not saying the gifts are okay, but what we really need is love. You don't dissect the things in the scriptures that way. I believe, yes, love is priority over anything, because if you don't have love, all these gifts could be manifest and you're really doing nothing for the kingdom of God. But he's not saying the gifts are not necessary, they're not important. Because if you just simply walk in love, like what people are trying to emphasize today, and it is infiltrating in the church, let's just love one another. And they say they want to throw out truth. Doctrine doesn't matter. It's love what's as important. That's a bunch of hogwash. Paul never said that. We need to speak the truth in love. You need the Word of God to govern what love actually is. So we don't just embrace all churches, no matter what they believe about Jesus Christ. We need the truth. But we also need love. But we also need the gifts. We need the gifts to be able to minister to one another. So don't say, well, at my church, we focus on love. We don't worry about the charismatic gifts. Well, you're out of balance. It'd be the same thing of saying, well, at my church, we focus on the Word of God, but we don't focus on gifts. Well, you need both. God's given us the Word. He's given us love. He's given us the gifts. And you need to desire all of that. Paul's point is, you may have the others. They're important, but something even greater than that is love. And if you don't have love, you have no claim to anything being spiritual, no matter what you may want to think. I think that's what Paul's getting at in this chapter, because this church was filled with the gifts, but they were lacking love, as you read through the book. And so he's saying, you're just becoming a noisy clang. You're having your worship services, but it's like a gong that's going off and not really producing anything. So don't get this out of kilter here. Love is extremely important, but not to the point of saying the gifts are totally secondary and not important. That's not what he's saying. Now, before we look at verse 1 of chapter 13, see this word earnestly desire in verse 31? The King James translates that word covet. And coveting, you could covet something good or you could covet in an evil sense. This word is also translated in verse 4 as jealous. So it's a word that, depending on what's in the heart, could either be you're desiring something evil or desiring something good. And I like the way the New King James translated, earnestly desire. It emphasizes that there's a strong desire in the heart for what? For the gifts of the Spirit. And as I study the Scripture, that's the one thing that I find the difference between those who are going to be used in the gifts of the Spirit and those who aren't. And it's oftentimes not maturity in Christ. It's often not times biblical knowledge. It's desire. God used my life supernaturally to touch others. But here's what happens in the church. You see some weirdos doing healing, breathing on people, and they're falling over and flopping around, or people speaking out in tongues, the whole church erupting like that. And you're saying, this isn't right. And you put a fear in your heart towards the gift. You say, I don't want those things. And that quenches you off, I believe, from the power of God in being used by the Spirit in these supernatural ways. And I've told you over and over and over again, I don't want to be weird here. I don't want those weird things happening in our church. I believe anything that should happen will be under the guideline of Scripture. And if it's not in the Scripture, I don't care who it is, whether it's your uncle or your brother or someone that's been in the Lord for a long time, our authority is the Word of God. Now, if we don't see it happening here, it's not going to be happening here in this building. That's bottom line. This is our authority. And that brings a great comfort that I could desire the things of the Spirit. Then I know it's the Lord as I find it being described, lived out in the Scriptures. And so there doesn't need to be a fear, a rejection of the gifts, but I could earnestly desire. And these are good things that we need in the church to be able to build up one another. And that's one of that's the only difference I find in those that will be used by the Spirit that way and those that aren't, is the word desire. Now, if you don't believe healing's for today, you're not going to desire the gift of healing. And so you're not going to be praying for people that are sick and believing God to raise them up or to touch them or to bring healing to them. Well, that was just for the apostles in the early church. And so you're not going to be desiring that, so chances are God's not going to use you in that way. So here is what I think separates people. Some will say, well, we have the Bible and we have love. But hey, it also says earnestly desire the gifts, the best ones, the greater ones, the ones that are going to bless others. And then as love is the foundation of that, those gifts are going to be flowing out of love and it's going to glorify God and people are going to be blessed. I believe that's God's design. And the Word of God brings it all in harmony, all these